Well, hello there, everyone, and welcome to episode number 54 of GoRamboRadio.com. I am your host, Tim Cormall, once again podcasting from the fabulous neighborhood of Logan Circle here in Washington, D.C. And GoRamboRadio.com is sponsored by Cap Records. Be sure to check out my sponsor over at CapRecords.com. That's CAPPRecords.com. You can also check out their MySpace page at MySpace.com/CapRecords. My guest this week is Ernest Cole, who's a fantastic dance music artist with an established track record about 21 years in the music industry, and he is going to be joining us here in just a moment. Weekly Gossip Brief will be taking a break this week, but don't worry, Dennis and Orlando will be back next week, so we're going to open the interview with Ernest with his song Only You 2005 UK Club Mix.
Understand. from a window above. It's like a story of love.
Only you
came back only yesterday. I'm moving further away.
Only you.
Sometimes when I think of your name, when it's only a game.
Only you.
Listen to the words that you say. It's getting harder to stay.
And that was Only You 2005, the UK Club Mix, and I'm joined today by Ernest Cole. How are you, Ernest?
I'm great. How are you doing, Tim?
Good, good. Tell us a little bit about yourself and that song.
Well, that song was originally recorded in 1996 for my Importance of Being album. And the interesting story about that song was when I walked into the studio that day, my co-producer, Steve Skinner, said to me, "Let's do a cover first, you know, to get us going on to this album." And he said to me, "What is your favorite song?" And I went, "What?" He said, "What's your favorite song ever?" And I said, "Well, that's going to be a hard one." And I narrowed it down to two songs. And he's like, "Okay, go home, think about it, and come back and tell me what you want to do." And there were two songs that came to my mind. Mm-hmm. One was Only You, of course, and the other one was Something Good from The Sound of Music.
Okay.
And I chose Only You because I thought it was a very romantic piece. I love the lyrics, and I also love the melody, but I also love the fact that it was a folk song, and I thought it could turn into a really great dance anthem and be sort of trancey, and I could interpret it correctly. And that's what ended up happening. And it originally came out on NMC, Ichiban Capitol Records, and went number one back in 96, 97.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 2005, we had a lot of requests for the record again to be remixed and re-put out. My manager at the time said, "You know what? You've got to do this song." And I personally was like, "No, no, 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 no. I don't want to do that song. I want to do To Save the Love because we've had so many requests for it."
Mm-hmm.
And he made a deal with me. He was like, "Okay, Ernest, you can do To Save the Love, but you've got to do Only You on this album, and the next album you can do To Save the Love." And I'm like, okay, okay, because what the record label we had just signed with Sony wanted to do was put out a greatest hits collection, but with all remixes, basically.
Okay.
And so we went ahead and remixed the project with many of the top remixers, like Mike Kopeck and Tony Spaulding,
mm-hmm,
from Almighty, Julian Marsh, Rob Oasek, who am I forgetting? Stephen L. Freeman were on that project, and Tom Moulton. And it went on to become a number one hit. It won Best Remake of the Year, and it was a total success. And the album, Ernest Cole Hits, won Best Greatest Hits Album of that year. So indeed, my manager at the time, Brian, was correct in his forethought of doing it. And everybody just loves it. And it's still, I cannot do a concert till this day, like a couple of my other songs, without doing it. It's still in rotation, and people seem to love it, and I love it as well.
Wow, that's just amazing. So now, where do you hail from? Tell us where you grew up and where you're living these days.
I'm originally from a really small town way upstate New York, which probably nobody ever heard of. It's a little town called Norwich. I didn't live there for long because I started out as a child actor, and I had to move to the city, and I was kind of going back and forth when I wasn't working. But it's a little dinky town. It's near Binghamton, but it's like way up the road, 48 miles up the road a piece from Binghamton. Just a normal small town, but I've been living in the big city for basically 30 years.
Wow. Now, you mentioned you started out as a child actor. Tell us about that.
Well, yeah. My first job was in the National Tour of South Pacific. I got cast at the age of 7 to play the role of Jerome. And I don't know if you know the role, but it opens and closes the show with "Dites-moi pourquoi." And that was my first start in musical theater. And I actually got cast by Richard Rodgers, which was so cool.
Now, how old
and
were you?
I was 7. Wow. Actually, I auditioned at age 6 and went into the, because my birthday's in February, went into the show at age 7.
That's amazing.
And grew very tall and was out of the show within 7 or 8 months. And thought I was going into King and I, but they didn't think I was old enough. So they owned the rights to Annie Get Your Gun, so they put me into that as little Jake.
Oh, wow.
And from that, I went into Camelot and then into Kiss Me, Kate, and on and on and on.
So it sounds like you've done a lot of Broadway work.
I have. I was Joseph and you. I mean, I played Dan in the original production of Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. I was in the Rocky Horror Show. I've done Cabaret, and I've done Carousel. So my projects and my vehicles are kind of varied. You know, there's quite juxtapositions in the roles I've played.
Wow, that's just amazing. So, so you've been around the show business industry for a long time.
Yeah, and I also have trained in it since I was a little kid. So that was a really excellent way of training because I got to start so young that I learned so much just by doing instead of going to like acting class, which I did do. You know, eventually I'm a graduate of AMDA, the American Musical and Dramatic Academy. But there is a thing about doing it instead of just studying it that really teaches you. And that was really a great, great thing. By just being it, doing it, and that gave me the taste of blood. And I loved it from the time I first did it as a little kid. I just absolutely would stand in the wings every single night and just watch it and just raptured it.
Well,
and I still love it till today.
Well, tell us how you got from the show business industry into the whole dance music industry.
Very interesting story. I was doing the Rocky Horror Disco Show. And if anybody ever knows about that show, they know how much fun that is. And Grace Jones's manager at the time, Berlin Carmen Management, came and saw it. And John Carmen, who was Grace Jones' manager and publicist at the time, came up to me backstage and said, "I want to sign you. You're going to be a star, blah, 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 blah. And come and meet with me." Went and met with him. Everything went through, became my manager, took me to Bobby Orlando, and I started doing ghost vocals for Bobby Orlando and had several hits. And then from there, I instantly, from the day I left Bobby, walked right into my Unitas contract, and the hits continued. And I've had a top 10 hit for every year for 20 years standing somewhere on the globe, mostly number one.
Wow, so you've been in this industry for 20 years?
Over 20 years. This is my 21st year.
Wow, that's just great. That's fantastic.
And I'm not that old.
So what made you decide you wanted to be a musician? I mean, was it that, I mean...
It kind of decided for me.
Okay, just something that came naturally?
It just came naturally. I was this little kid with this big voice, and I just love it. I It's a natural talent. It's something that I can just do. I can't do other things really great, but performing, acting, singing, dancing, writing, being on stage, looking good, doing that whole kind of thing, mm-hmm. I can just totally do. But, like, you know, ask me to go, like, tune up a car, forget it.
Yeah, forget that.
You know, I believe that there are things that people can really do well, and they should go after it and really excel upon it.
Mm-hmm.
But some things I just can't even begin to do. Like computer stuff, I try so hard, but, like, my friends just laugh at me because I just make so many mistakes. And they're like, what are you doing? This is so simple. And I'm just like, I think I'm a little right-brained here.
Oh, that's hilarious. So you've been working in the music industry, like you said, for about 21 years. And you've had quite a musical theater background. And who are some of the labels you've worked with over the course of your career?
Whoa, okay. I have been on, well, my everything from stuff with Bobby O, with O Records, CBS, Blue Sky CBS. Then I went to Unidisc. Then I went, I've got to try to remember this in order because it's kind of hard. Buddha Sutra. Then I went to Wide Angle. Then I went to Megatone. Then I went to Loading Bay. Then after Loading Bay, where did I go? ZYX. Then I went to Capitol. Then I went to Ichiban NMC. Then I went back to Wide Angle. Then I went BMG. Then I'm missing labels here. Oh, gosh, of course, Sony. Hello, Sony EMG.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you have different labels that carry you in different countries, or are you just
every single country, yes. I am
labels.
On labels all over the globe, from Singapore to all over Asia, all over Europe, England. Wonderful labels, too. Labels like Clone, Rumor Records, Loading Bay, as I had mentioned, Disco Valdez. Oh, my gosh, BMG, CYX, which goes all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
Sony goes all over the world, so that's pretty good. And I'm on many, many compilations as well.
Well, that's fantastic. So you've certainly been out there for a while.
Yeah, I have. And I am currently recording my new album.
Okay, tell us about that.
Okay, I'll try to brief this one out. A year and a half ago, as I was telling you in our pre-show conversation, I had a really great tragedy in my life. My partner, who was my manager, and my husband of 14 and a half years, passed away of a massive heart attack instantly.
Oh, no, that's just a terrible shame.
And
so sorry to hear that.
Really rocked my world. And it happened so instantly. It was a Sunday night. He was cooking his famous stuffed peppers. We had just come off of tour for 6 months. We had the number one record in the world with Only You that you just heard. And the number one album in the world with Ernest Cole Hits, which that came off of, and for 4 weeks standing, and we were about to go back out on tour. We were spicing up the show a bit and putting two more numbers in because we needed to extend it for certain venues.
Mm-hmm.
And we were starting work on the new album, and as I said, he was cooking dinners, and he sent me to the store to get coffee beans and coffee filters for the morning because we were going to watch reruns of Desperate Housewives, which I love.
Mm-hmm.
And we had missed many episodes while we were on tour, and I came back and found him on the floor gone.
Oh, I'm so sorry. That's just terrible.
Yeah. And it totally and completely changed my life all the way around. And I've had to kind of learn to relive my life, rebuild my whole life without him, which I can't even explain to you how hard this whole situation has been. But the one thing I can say is my dear friends, my producers, my fans, my record company people, my wonderful team of dancers, my choreographers, my directors have all rallied around me and helped come and keep me going. And one thing I can say is the music and the industry has kept me alive. If I haven't had the support of the emails and the cards and letters and the anticipation for the new work that I'm about to release, the music has kept me going. That's the basic statement I want to put forward. That's the whole new album is a total healing project for me. And it's all dedicated in memorial tribute to Brian. And it's a wonderful, wonderful project. We brought all the original producers that we have worked together for the last 14 and a half years. And some of them are really heavy names in the industry. People like Steve Skinner, Julianne Marsh, Neil Christian, who I'm sure you know from Inner Beyonce, mm-hmm. Mike Kopech and Tony Spaulding from Almighty Music, Elliot Soklow, who is absolutely, totally brilliant, who I'm currently writing and producing with, who is just like a brainchild, comes up with these amazing, amazing tracks and is so easy to work with. And I'm also working with him and Matt Karras on certain projects. Evan Cowden, LG5, Giuseppe D is up working on this project, who is just fantastic. We just had an incredible recording session that was absolutely hysterical and had so much fun. Stephen L. Freeman, who you probably know from Hot Tracks, and mm-hmm. who did the Donna Summer records. Dave Ford, now this is a really exciting thing. I'm the first artist to bring PWL back together, and I don't know if you remember who they are. Rick Astley, Bananarama, they chose me to be the first artist to bring them back together. So they're doing my next 12. It's pretty much all finished. I've heard it. It's pretty awesome.
Oh, cool.
Every time I hear this record, I fall down. It's pretty, pretty awesome. Carl Cox is working on it, Peter Wilson, Chris Richards, The Energy Project in Singapore, and Paul Goodyear is even on the project, the Perry Twins, and the creator of disco himself, the legendary Tom Moulton, is in doing mixes on this project.
Wow, this is going to be great.
there's a lot of people involved, but it's all doing it in a really good passion and a gift of love for music, and it's just, there's such a good feeling about this project, I can't even begin to tell you.
Well, let's play the song Live Like You Were Dying, the Julian Marsh's Power Drive Club Mix, and talk a little bit more about this when we come back.
Okay.
All right. So, again, this is Live Like You Were Dying. that was Live Like You Were Dying in the Julian Marsh's Power Drive Club mix. And you want to tell us a little bit more about that song? We were just talking about your new album. Is that going to be on the new album?
Yeah, that song was my first song back in front of the mic after Brian Scott Harper, who was my manager, passed away of a massive heart attack. It was my first song back in front of the mic. And I actually have Polaroids to every lyric I sing in that song.
Really?
I can see, yeah. It's one of the most significant songs I ever sang. In fact, it's very conversational, if you could tell by the way I performed it. And there's a lot of emotional outbursts in it, especially in the choruses, because I'm almost yelling because I'm almost, like, emotionally driven. But I definitely have Polaroids in my mind. Like, he was in his early 40s with a lot of life before him. The moment came that stopped me on a dime. Polaroid, Polaroid. Polaroid of finding his body. Polaroid of all the, it's the whole situation of dealing with the family, of the funeral, which was absolutely horrific, which nobody should ever have to go through. As I think I also had mentioned to you, I think it's really sad the way that gay marriages are treated in this country and that we aren't cared for. And we, if we don't prepare, we're going to be in a lot of trouble. And kind of happened to me.
Tell us about that, because I think it's important. You know, I think it's really important.
The situation that happened was, Brian was my manager and we were also partners. And the family came in and tried to take my apartment, which, thank God, I owned and it was under my name because I had originally purchased it in 1987 when I had one of my huge major pop hits, the massive classic Sooner or Later Love is Gonna Get Ya, and had a lot of money on hand. And the building went co-op, and my dad said to me, Ernest, invest. This is the best thing he could have ever said to me. Ernest, invest in real estate. And I was wise to do so because where I live right now is considered prime territory in Manhattan. It's right behind Lincoln Center, and right where Trump is putting up all the buildings. So
I know exactly your neighborhood.
Thank you. And so it's increased in its value like triple just because of what's going on in this area, because this is prime territory. And my dad was so right, being right about a lot of things I should have listened to, but didn't, but as kids we often don't. Okay, what happened with his family was his family wanted to take my apartment away. Now, I found this out at the funeral. Here I am over my husband's body, okay? I actually kind of did a Brie Vandy camp at the funeral. When I walked into the funeral, they had him, his mother brought in a picture of him in the fourth grade, so they did his hair and his makeup. Like, he was, like, in the fourth grade, parted down the middle like Poindexter. I was like, I am not letting my husband be seen like this. What is this tie? I literally changed the tie on him, redid his hair the way he would want it done. He actually hit the coffee table when he fell, I believe, and had a very bad bruise and went and got concealer and covered up all of his bruises because I was not going to let my husband be seen that way. I wanted him to be seen in a respectable fashion, and the family was, of course, freaking out, you know, and it was very much that Desperate Housewives scene, but I was not going to let my husband be seen disrespectfully, and then they wanted to take my total music catalog, and thank God that I am well protected through all my publishing companies, and it's just really, really sad that people get greedy, that people were less caring about him dying, moreover, than what they could try to get.
Oh, let me tell you, the saying goes, where there's a will, there's a dead relative.
Well, we were so unprepared because he was so young, and I was so young, you know, you don't expect somebody to die at 41 years old just like that instantly. And when we were together 24/7, we didn't plan for anything. We were more worried about the next single, what city we had to be performing in next, who we were casting as replacement dancers in the show, you know, onward and onward and onward. There were so many other things going fabulously in our life. We were at the point in our life where we were just about ready to buy a country house. We were like the happy married couple. And that's one thing I can say. I'm very thankful that I got to share a marriage like that, because very few gays, I feel, don't get to share a marriage like that. And I'm so thankful I had this man in my life, because he taught me so much, and he worked so hard on my career. And I love him deeply to this day, and will always love him. I don't think I'll ever be over him. I know that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you can't. I mean, that's what love is. So, but I think that stresses the importance. And one of the reasons I wanted to talk about that is because it really is. It's especially since we know we don't have gay marriage, and so many companies and follow the federal versus the state laws. You know, I was just reading an article about you know, this couple that filed for domestic partnership in New Jersey, I believe it was, where they passed the domestic partnership.
Mm-hmm.
And they filed for health care benefits for the partner and was denied because the federal government doesn't recognize gay marriage. And that's what the company
is called. Which is so sad. There is no difference in us if we're men or women. We're all human beings.
Absolutely.
And you know what? 14 and a half years is double common law. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
If it was a man and a wife, it would be a totally different situation. That family would have taken care of the daughter-in-law. There was nobody there for my emotional needs, except it was very strange that my dance captain just happened to be, I had to fly the body to Michigan myself, because that's where Brian was from. My dance captain happened to be 20 minutes away from where Brian's funeral was and showed up right at the right moment, who was a good friend of Brian's as well, Stevie Van Meter, who was also in the original CNC Music Factory, and mm-hmm. who has been my dance captain for many, many years. And she was right there but with her mother, who I knew very well, because, you know, her mother would always come to our performances and stuff, was there for me. And it was almost like God sent me an angel to be by my side.
Yeah, and it's a shame that, you know, you couldn't rely on your partner's family for that. You know, it's pathetic.
No, it was really, it's been a really bad hardship. In fact, till this day, they still harass me.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that, but that stresses the importance of why.
And there's
really
and there's some other people in the business. I mean, most people have been fantastic, but there are some people in the business who have been horrific.
Yeah.
And I do have to mention that statement only because I don't understand it. I think it's very cruel. There have actually been people who have told me to get over it. You know, you're holding on too long. Well, who is anybody to tell me that to get over my marriage? Or my love for a person in any sort of time frame. And they've just been cruel. And, you know, people will be people. So I kind of got to look at it that way and just sort of look over it and keep moving onwards.
Mm-hmm.
And keep trying to just keep going. Because if I didn't keep going with my career, I know that Brian would kick me from heaven right now because he would be so angry with me. He set a road for me that gave me a guiding line. And, you know, God bless his soul because he's right here with me every minute.
Yeah, that's true. That's the way you got to look at it. All right. So tell us about the music that you have for sale these days. Where can people go to buy your music?
Pretty much anywhere, because I'm basically on major labels. You can get me at any of the major outlets: HMV, Virgin, Tower, Amazon, any of the download sites. You can get me at iTunes. Even CD Baby has some of my stuff. There's a unique one that has some of my new stuff, which is called theoutclub.com. You can mm-hmm. just go there and you can just download the whole, like, anything you want. And it's all gay or gay-oriented artists,
which I think
is a wonderful thing.
I'll have to check that out. Theoutclub.com?
www.theoutclub.com. And it's actually through Centaur Entertainment here.
Oh, that's great. We'll definitely have to check that out.
And there's, you can go to my website, which is www.ErnestCole.com, or go to my MySpace page. You can get me anywhere, CD Universe, Perfect Beat, everywhere. Or go to the actual labels, like Sony. Unidisc has pretty much my full catalog, except for some of the new stuff. Overseas, you can get it through Clone Records, Almighty Records. I'm really out there. Just Google me and you can find me.
Oh, that's great. Well, definitely, I'll put some links to the show notes in the show notes for those record labels.
You just got
to
spell my name right, which is ErnestKohl.
Yeah.
Like the department store. Or the eye pencil.
So tell us a little bit about where you're currently performing or where you've performed in the past. Do you have any funny stories about things that happened while you're performing?
I have had huge funny stories. When I mentioned to you earlier, I did the Millennium Festival, because you're from Washington,
mm-hmm.
in 2000 on the Capitol steps with Christine W., Martha Wash, and Grace Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we were told to be there at a certain time, and the limo came and picked us up. And I do a really big show with dancers. I have, you know, I had, I think, 6 backup dancers with me that day. And let me tell you, they are heavily costumed and heavily made up with, like, their, like, all these extensions in their hair. So it's kind of uncomfortable for them. When they get ready, they're ready to go on. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Well, it was an extremely 100-degree hot day plus, and that we were there on time, waiting to go on, and Grace was holding everything up. It would not go on until the sun came down.
Okay.
And here we are, trying to stay cool. Now, I don't know, it's like pretty hard to stay cool when you're in full stage makeup, because we were playing in front of thousands and thousands and thousands of people. I couldn't even see the end of the crowd, because it went right all the way down that one pathway. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
It was just amazing how many people there were. So situations happened where they were trying to get Grace to go on stage, and we were kind of staying out of it, but we heard this large argument going on. And in her trailer, because we all had certain trailers that we were allowed to be in at certain points.
So Grace was sitting in a trailer, and you were sitting out in the hot sun?
Yes. Me and Martha decided to park under an umbrella, Martha Wash, who's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
We're just sitting out, having some lemonade, just being cool, you know, trying to stay as cool as we possibly can, and just, you know, dishing away, because we have known each other for years, since our Megatone years,
mm-hmm.
Because she had worked with Sylvester and David Diebold. And just dishing away. And she also had worked with Steve Skinner, my co-producer. And we look over, and the trailer's shaking. And Grace, I guess, was literally having a fit inside. And, well, long story short, the way that things went, Christine, Martha, then me, then Grace. Well, Grace came out and did her show. There was mention that she was, I don't know how to word this correctly, a little bit happy, but she did a fantastic job. I mean, the promoters were scared every time she went to climb the stairs that she was going to fall off, but she did a fantastic job from what I could tell, and but they did get in trouble with the police because they had certain requirements, you know, police regulations to a certain time, and she went over them. And we all had to cut numbers out of our set, which messed up our set.
Aww.
But it turned out to be a great event, you know. So, and it was all for AIDS. So anything you can do for AIDS, I will do it. That was the good point about the whole situation.
Well, I did want to talk about some benefit fundraising, but I think first we should play your song, Sooner or Later, Love is Gonna Get You.
Which is a song that really kind of put me on the map, not put me on the map, but became my really big, first big pop hit, where worldwide, like all over the world. And this is, I think the version you're going to play is the remix off the Hits album, but it's one that overtook my world. When you actually have a huge pop record like that, that is considered a classic,
mm-hmm.
then you're really lucky. And I'm very thankful for this record.
And now what year was that?
Originally it came out in 1987.
Wow, okay. All right, so this is Sooner or Later.
This is the remix version, which just came out on the Hits album.
All right, so this is Sooner or Later, Love is Gonna Get You. We'll be right back. And that was Sooner or Later, Love is Gonna Get You. And I'm back with Ernest. Welcome back, Ernest.
Hey.
So right before that, we were talking a little bit. You mentioned that you did the AIDS benefit fundraiser on the Capitol. Do you want to tell us a little bit about the other benefit fundraising events you've been involved in?
Oh, gosh. I think from day one, I have done benefits, especially for AIDS. I am now very interested in doing benefits, always for AIDS, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because
Absolutely.
I've lost so many of my dear friends for AIDS. And anytime anybody ever calls me to do a benefit for AIDS, I'm there. As long as I can possibly be there. And they can, it can work out within my schedule. I am there because I believe we need all the help we can get. I also am very interested in doing anything I can for the American Heart Society and also for any cancer patients, because I've had so many dear friends that have had cancer recently, and that has caused great interest for me to do anything for heart patients, of course, because I've lost Brian, which made me totally aware. I didn't even realize that there were so many things that could be done and need to be done, and also for cancer, because I did, you know, lose my father to cancer,
mm-hmm.
and there are so many things that could be done. And I also believe that there are so many things that could be done for AIDS. And even if it's not curing the disease, helping people with the disease live better.
Absolutely.
If we can make their living conditions better, if we can provide them with, you know, good food, housing, all the above, there just is not enough things that we can do. There's never an excuse. Be out there and do it. Support your community. And I'm there for you if you need me.
Yeah, that's great, because I always love that question, because I really like hearing how people give back to the communities they're involved in. So
I just believe that the community made me, and I've lost so many people that I have to do something. And I've seen so many demographics change, and I think that there are so many young people that I can actually help educate. And if somebody can look up to me, I mean, I'm not that old, but I recently was called a pioneer in this type of music, and I kind of took it like, oh, my God, that made me feel old or archaic. And the interviewer said to me, you know, you shouldn't think of it that way. You're young enough to actually appreciate this, and now I actually do. And if I can be a guiding light to anybody, I'm there.
Well, that's just great. Now, are you going to be traveling with performing anytime soon? Where can people check you out?
What I'm doing right now is, right at this very moment, I'm taking 10 days, and I'm laying vocals on the new album, which is Eternally. And I had to take a time where I'm just laying vocals, and I'm trying to get as much in as I can, because I have tracks coming from all over the world, as I said, Denmark, Singapore, England, Spain, the U.S. It's just amazing how many people I have working on this project. And there's so many vocals I have to get done. And as soon as the project is finished, there's two singles out, Live Like You Were Dying, which you did just here.
Mm-hmm.
It's been released in England. But there's also a single that has been released here, which is To Save the Love 207, which is a remake of my previous number one hit, To Save the Love, which went number one in 1989 and knocked Donna Summer off the top of the charts, which I won Best Male Vocalist of the Year Award against Neil Tennant from the Pet Shop Boys, Andy Bell from Erasure, Paula Kakis, and myself. Now, I was not expecting at all to win this award, and when they announced my name, I was like, did I hear correctly?
Yeah, I'm sure. Up against that list.
And from there, this song just kept living, and I've had so many requests for it. And I put all my remixes on it, and it's currently out. It's number 11 on the charts, and it's also dedicated to Brian and Memorial Tribute. But in answer to your question, yes, the video is out currently for To Save the Love 207. And what the video is, it's very interesting. It's kind of a truth or dare documentary-style video. It's a retrospect of the last 14 years of my life from 1989 when Brian came into it, till now, 207, and we actually have a clip at the end of it of Brian backstage with my dancers taking the dancers out onto stage, which is kind of rare because he hated to be in front of cameras.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a little bit bittersweet for me to watch because I had to release unseen footage, backstage footage, just hidden footage that had never been seen before. And seeing it all go by kind of makes you look at your life and like really appreciate what you had and what you still have.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very bittersweet. The whole video was very well done, and I'm very proud of it, and we are going to be doing a video debut party here in Manhattan in August. I think in the third week of August, we're doing a video debut party. Then when the next single comes out, which I can't tell the title of, but we have huge producers on it, I will be doing certain concerts in certain cities around the world. And then when the album drops, I'm going to be doing a full world tour.
Cool. That's fantastic. So it sounds like you're going to be out on the road quite a bit.
Right. But I've got to make sure that everything is put in its proper place. And, you know, when I do a show, it's a big production. I go into rehearsal for like 3 weeks. I have designers doing the costumes. And, I mean, I will do a couple solo, you know, appearances if need be. But it's not like seeing my full concert.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I go and do a huge thing at like Pride's or something like that. I give you a full show. I'm not just like your standard singer or diva that just gets up there and sings a song. I do a show with acting, singing, dancing, full, you know, presentation. Because I believe that people really want to be entertained, and I want to make it very visual. And the fact that it was written about my show that was called A Visual Delight, that was one of the nicest things I think was ever said about my performance.
Well, that's cool. And you don't want the queens talking about you behind your back, too.
No, and they actually talk to your face, believe it or not.
So she came on stage and she didn't even put on a performance with her dancers.
But if you're going to have dancers, you best be dancing yourself.
That's right. That's
right. Just don't have them dancing behind you.
Yeah.
You better be doing your double pirouettes and you better be dancing hard.
So you've been in this industry for a long time, 21
yes,
years.
Yes, I have. And I mean, I do really, really love it. And as I stated previously, the music does keep me going. It keeps me alive. And right now, it is what is healing me. I think I'm writing from a different perspective. What was said to me about my last performances, I did do a performance. It was a while ago, but I did do Tavern on the Green for New Year's,
mm-hmm.
and it was kind of unexpected, but it happened, and I went on by myself, and the reception, and it was a total straight crowd, which was different from, not that I haven't played straight crowds, but the reception was just so overwhelming that it's like, Ernest, it's time to come back.
That's great. That's fantastic.
It's where you need to be. It's where I feel most comfortable. A lot of times I don't feel comfortable in real life in certain situations, but on stage, I'm like at home. It's like that's my living room. That's where I'm just fine and dandy.
That's fantastic. Now, one thing I did want to ask you is where do you see yourself going, you know, from here?
I have a lot of projects in the work. I want to continue recording for as long as God will let me.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I am currently working on two musicals that are being written. As a writer on, and the other one that's being written that I definitely have the role if I decide to do it, which is very exciting, which is based on a classic. And I want to continue my movie career.
Okay, cool. So do you have any shout-outs for anyone you want to thank over the course of your career before we wrap this up?
Well, definitely I want to thank all of my fans, the DJs where I would be nowhere without, and my fans, of course,
mm-hmm.
the VJs as well, everybody who's ever possibly worked with me, from my producers, my writers, who I just are just the most spectacular people who have to deal with so much, you know what I mean? Time deadlines, everything. But most importantly, I really want to thank God, and I want to thank Brian. I mean, without Brian, I would have not have gotten this far, I don't think. But everything happens for a reason, and there's just so many people. I just want to thank everybody just for allowing me to be able to do what I do, because
mm-hmm.
it's very rare that you get a chance to do what you love to do, and I'm really thankful, and I appreciate it.
Yeah, that's just amazing that, you know, you've had such a wonderful career over 21 years.
And the fact that I have a base audience, that they know that if they put this many records out on me, they're going to sell that many records. And the fact that I have labels that are going to sign me, I'm really thankful for that.
Yeah, so
that's like a really good feeling. You know, there's people out there that don't have labels or don't have interest from people, and that's exciting to me that I still can do this.
Yeah, well,
and I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you.
Indeed. Well, I wanted to thank you for coming on the show today.
Oh, well, thank you so much.
And let's tell the listeners how they can get in touch with you. You mentioned your website earlier. You want to recap that?
Yeah, it's www.ernestcohl.com, or you could go to my page at MySpace, or you can go to nocturnalarts@AOL.com, which is my management firm, and you can easily get in touch with me.
Cool, cool. So, well, thank you for coming on the show, Ernest.
Oh, well, thank you so much for having me, Tim.
Again, this is episode 54. You're listening to Go Rainbow Radio. You can email me at timcorrimal, that's C-O-R-R-I-M-A-L, @gmail.com. You can call the listener line at 202-657-4277. This month is my one-year podcasting anniversary. Go Rainbow Radio started the end of July 2006. So I'd love to hear from you guys. And if you enjoy Go Rainbow Radio, please do call the listener line, 202-657-4277, and I'll play your message on the show. Also, if you're listening through Radio Gay International Network, you can go to the website at GoRainbowRadio.com. You can go to my MySpace page, MySpace.com/GoRainbowRadio. You can also join Facebook, Frapper. There's so many ways on the internet. Just search for Tim Cormall and you'll find me. Also in iTunes, you can just search for Tim Cormall or Go Rainbow Radio. And you can search for Ernest Cole, too.
Yay!
Yay! So, Ernest, again, thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you so much.
And we're going to close out the interview today with your song To Save the Love 2007, the UK Club Mix. Did you want to give us a little recap about that song and how it came about before we played?
Right now, it has 14 slamming remixes on the maxi single, and it's currently number 11 on the charts, headed toward number one, we hope.
Yay!
So, yay! So go out and dance to it.
All right, let's say goodbye.
Yes, I do. Goodbye, everyone. You take care. I love you, and let me hear from you. And remember, keep the music alive.
And this is To Say the Love 2007, the UK Club Mix.
GoRainbowRadio.com, sponsored by Cap Records, a division of Cap Company.